This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. Petey, if your old ass needs a new hip, go get a new hip, because we can't have you all laid out on the floor, hopped up on pills, pissing into your skinny jeans. So get your shit together and make that appointment today, kid. And by the way, I too love Casper Mattress. And may I just say that it is very aptly named, because mine's invisible.
I don't have music, and that's definitely not it. Why don't you guys just start cold?
What? You don't have anything?
No.
Yeah, that's funny. I was like, wow, who's really taking this show to another level?
I wasn't sure. I thought we got popped into like the one of those urban channels they got over there. Did we record that, Lou? Well, let's just start there.
Want me to tell you the thinking behind it? There's a song that's really popular right now. It's like number one in the country, or it was. And it's called Living My Best Life with Snoop Dogg. And Lil Rel is a comedian. And I didn't think it was this version. There's a version where it's kind of censored. And I didn't want it to start there.
Oh, God. I'm guessing that don't come on after 10 o'clock at the jukebox at your bar.
Nah, nobody's ever heard of that.
We'll start in with that. That's a great lead in to the show. It's always good to get we get the mishaps. We leave them in, right?
Well, yeah. Actually, if I can make a request, Lou, can we get a little Janet Jackson? Bro, I heard When I Think of You the other day on the radio, and they were saying it was her third album. She was only 20, and it was her first big hit. And I meant to tell you, I like her body of work more than her brother's. If I could only hear one body of work ever again, I'd shut down Michael, and I would just... When I think of you, that little surgically repaired, adorable nose. Who didn't love that? Oh, God. It was gorgeous. She was gorgeous.
I gotta tell you, I think that Janet Jackson was like the first Beyonce, right? I mean, she was like the thing for 5-6 years, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had your Donna Summers, your Diana Rosses, all those lovely ladies, but these were the first ones to really, like, do costume change. I don't know, right? I don't know. It seemingly to me, it was the first one where it was not only, I don't know, though, I can't say, I was going to say hot and beautiful and good, but Diana Ross, come on, man.
I'd say Janet was up there with Diana Ross, totally, for a while there.
I didn't see that coming when she was Penny on Good Times.
Penny, wasn't she Willis's girlfriend on Different Strokes?
Ooh, that could be.
I didn't know her until Good Times, and then next thing I know, she was dancing.
Well, she was on Good Times, but then I think older she got, she started coming up on Different Strokes, and when she popped in on that show, I'm like, man, this girl's a doll.
You're correct.
Hey, Charlene, wait a second.
We'll definitely go roller skating next Friday night.
Well, you can go with Vernon and try kissing him goodnight.
Wow. Man, you got a good sitcom memory, bro.
No, listen, I have a good Jackson memory. Anything Jackson, I'm in.
Well, Paula Abdul gave her a run for money for a long time, man.
I don't even think she was in the race with Janet Jackson. I mean, Janet Jackson was doing singing, dancing. She was doing acting. She was even in the movie with Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, Poetic Justice.
That's it.
Yeah, she was a triple threat, man.
Triple threat. As long as we're talking about music, and Lou, you're talking about the number one song in the country, which I don't think I've heard yet. But I'm going to tell you my number one on my playlist while we're talking. If you want to pull up the debut collaboration with Sam, I think his name is Felt, featuring actor Jeremy Renner in a dance song called Heaven doesn't have a name. Put that in your iPhone and jam that while you're doing a 16 on the treadmill. Oh, here we go, yeah. This
is she tastes like lipstick and Tanqueray.
Oh, yeah.
All I remember, she grew up in Atlanta, but she moved to the Bay. An uptown beauty you can never escape.
All right, doing a little 5-point on the treadmill, and then when this kicks in. Oh, yep. Now we're on a 7 on the treadmill.
Who's that?
This is Jeremy Renner.
The actor?
Yeah.
Off. I don't, guys, what are you, next week you're going to have me singing fucking Bradley Cooper tunes from A Star Is Born? I don't mix my actors and my rock stars, guy. I've been through this. You're putting your chocolate in my peanut butter, man. What are we doing? You're literally singing Jeremy Renner. There's a million Beatles tunes you don't even know. You can't even tell me everybody in the Who. And you're lip-syncing Jeremy Renner. Jesus, that's grounds to quit the show.
Oh, come on, man. I know, man, we really hit a button here with the Renner here. But
I did the Hugh Jackman thing, but I didn't sing along, man.
This is not a sing-along. This is more of a beat and a vibe.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, but
see, you lose into it.
The first guy singing is a rock singer, right? A professional singer, right?
Yeah. No, this is...
He's like a producer, music guy, probably English or something.
Yeah, it's like but he sings, though.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think he sings. I think he's more of a... I think this is all Renner.
Yeah, so Renner's voice, definitely.
Bro, why are we...
Come on.
This is the guy who's the Hawkeye in the Marvel movies?
Yeah!
What are we doing? This is an embarrassment to Lenny Kravitz, bro. I mean, every rock star right now is like, this is ridiculous.
Well, it doesn't have to be rock. I mean, if I ever want to run on the beach, this is what I want to play.
Oh, come on. Yeah, bro. You ever see Mick Jagger in a movie? It's fucking ridiculous.
Dude, I got some news for you. Hold on to your
head,
Pete. You mentioned the Bradley Cooper movie that he directed and made.
Yes, yeah. Jackie would leave me for him, by the way, if he drove by. Even at 30 miles an hour, she just jumped through the fucking driver's side.
Well, check this shit out. I don't know if you heard about this, but he spent to study for the role to be a rock star.
I know you love a boy. He followed around Eddie Vedder, and he based the whole character on Eddie Vedder. Oh, yeah, that must have kept you up another night there, huh?
Could you say that again for people who don't know the news and say it with less...
Bradley Cooper wanted to really feel what it was like to hang out with a rock star. Okay, so what he did was he went and he spent a few days with Ed Vedder, and he hung out and just to see how a rock star is. But then being around the biggest rock star, the god of all gods, and Lou, I'll give it to you. I admit it right now. The guy's the best.
Oh, well said. Keep going.
He said, you know what? I'm just going to do this guy, you know? Like, and then he basically is doing a version of Eddie Vedder. He got spray tanned once a week and got touched up with bronzer every day. They put wrinkles under his eyes to make him look more worn out. They put red in his eyes to make him look like he's been up drinking all night. The guy was on fire when he directed this movie. It's going to blow you away. It's going to knock your socks off. And by the way, Lou, I went out to the couch and said to Jackie, guess what rock star Bradley Cooper based this off of? Who would you base it off of if you were going to base it off the biggest rock star? And she goes, oh, Eddie Vedder? I'm like, yes.
Wow. She could tell by watching the movie. She's like, he's got that vibe? Wow.
But I'll say this. When Bradley Cooper told Eddie Vedder that he was going to sing his own songs, you know what Eddie Vedder said?
Don't do it.
And I quote, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that because you're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing rock and roll stars. You're embarrassing. You're fucking the balance up, man. You know, you don't do two things.
Even if he does a good job, he's still embarrassing.
I mean, you do, you know, like, look, rock stars can write a book. They can do a little cameo in a movie here and there. You know, comedians can act and do plays and shit. But yeah, what are you doing? And what are you doing singing it, guy?
I wasn't singing. It was more of an anthem to get up on the treadmill.
You said it went up to 7. Now we're up to 7, and you start singing along. Was he not, Lou? Yeah.
Lou,
I understand it, though.
I don't know if I was singing. I think it was more of a hum, but come on, man. I'm just...
I mean, you were at his house. There was no Wi-Fi. And now you're working out to him? It's just, isn't that weird to you? He's like a collie.
Yeah. He's a collie. Oh, man.
Hey, look, I say, well done. There's no doubt about it, but still.
Yeah, this is my new song this week, though. I'm sorry you guys are not into it.
So is he going on tour then?
I don't know. I doubt it, but I don't know if he's going to maybe cut an album, like a dance album. But right here, this is beat. Go to Lou. Come on. You're jogging on the beach, Pacific Ocean, waves crashing near your feet.
Yeah. Listen, Kanye singing this, I love it.
So it's who's singing it.
Yeah, like he was in. Remember that movie with Ben Affleck where they robbed the Fenway Park?
The town.
Yeah, wouldn't it be weird if Ben Affleck was singing this? How is it not weird that this guy is?
I don't know, man. It doesn't really matter who's behind the microphone. For me, it's the vibe. So that's the thing. Pete's pick of the week, Janet Jackson. My pick of the week, Jeremy Renner. Heaven Doesn't Have a Name. Put those in your iPod and turn it up.
Hey! Oh, hey, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter.
Keep the peanut butter on my chocolate.
What? Four
pieces, peanut butter cup.
Welcome to Pete and Sebastian's show. My name is Sebastian Bascalco. It's Pete Corielli on the other side. We got Lou on the ones and twos in New York City Sirius XM Studios. If you're tuning in for the first time, this show basically chronicles our lives personally and professionally, not guest-driven. I think we've had maybe four or five guests in the entire five-year span of the show. If you are just joining us, welcome. If you are a listener for the last 5 years, last 5 days, what have you, welcome back. And what's going on? We haven't talked in a bit. Pete and I talked a little bit off air today, which is kind of a rarity. But we're ready to roll with some. What do we got? What do we got?
What do we got, man? Well, we got a ton of mailbag if we want to get to that. By the way, guys, thanks for asking. I'm back on my feet. I know you forgot to ask.
Well, we didn't get into the show yet.
What?
That was going to come out. But, yeah, okay.
How are you for feeling? The show? I'm back, baby. I went to my guy again. He bent me over and he goes, now bring you back forward. And I was on all fours and he goes, come back and I want you to go as far, try and get you behind as far down to your heels as you can. Boom, I got him to my heels. And he goes, wow, you already got 20% more mobility. Which ran away, I think it was more than 20%. I mean, I'm all the way down to my heels. I can't go any further. What do you? That's 100% mobility, guy. I'm coming back either way. You don't got to fake the mobility numbers.
Hey, man, what could you put your forehead on your knees?
No, I couldn't do that.
Well, that's 100% then.
All right. Well, that's why I'm talking to you. So then he did a light rub on the back, and then he took out this metal thing. It was like a metal scraper, and he just started running it down my back, and you could just scrape it hard right down my spine, and you could just hear everything crunching, and he's like, that's all, everything, it's all breaking up, it's everything that's been sticking with the adhesions to your spines, we're breaking it all up. I mean, as soon as he was done, I was able to move, anyway, he didn't even bring up the hip again, it's the elephant in the room. We didn't even deal with that. He didn't mention it. I didn't mention it. We're going to work on the back for about another 3 weeks, twice a week. And then we're going to deal with the hip. And I think he's going to be blown away and think and understand that he made a gross miscalculation on my fucking healthy 47-year-old hip.
I believe he did. I think it was a jump on the gun. I think he should have maybe gave you a better analysis. But we all know that Pete Corielli does not need new hips. They're just fine. He just had a bad day that day. And glad to hear that you're caneless and you're walking around.
Yeah, by the way, you go to Milwaukee and ask Watt for a gym. He lists about three gyms. I'll set you up. Red carpet coming out. I mentioned a hip on the cast. I got nothing. No Dr. Recco. Nothing. He's too busy sacking everything right now, bro.
Well, he is on the leaderboard with six sacks. Him and his brother are going neck and neck this year. Yeah. But Watt definitely is back and sacking the quarterback. So good to see him coming off that injury and excelling. By the way, Watt, 29 years old. I looked that up while I was looking up his sacks. 29 years old. Hey, a little trivia here, and those of you that are following along wherever you're at, don't look this up on Google. See if you could get the answer. Who is the number one sack leader in NFL history? Do you know?
I think I know the answer, but I'm not going to say. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I'm literally not going to say because I was expecting a call-in. I told you live, bro. You're doing it so like FM radio. I'm literally pausing going, we'll let a caller have a crack at it first. What the fuck? We've done 330 shows. Why would I think there's a caller?
I have no idea, man.
Is it Reggie White?
Close. He's number two with 198 sacks. By the way, he passed away. It's a fun, not a fun fact, but a fact.
Yeah, I know. A while ago, actually.
Yeah. Do you have any second guess?
Strahan?
No, it's Bruce Smith. 200 sacks. Buffalo Bill. Bruce Smith.
Never would have guessed.
Only
that.
Two active players actually are in the top 20. That's Julius Peppers and Terrell Suggs. J.J. Watt coming in with, I believe, 82 sacks. He's got a ways to go to be the leader. But if he stays healthy for the next 5 years, I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, it's way different now, too, man. You know, you can't get near the quarterback. You just touch him.
I know.
Very irritating to watch. History repeats itself.
Try and you succeed. Again, batting under pressure. It's shot number three. A hat trick for J.J. Watt today. You're the best around.
Nothing's gonna ever keep. That boy's good.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Doing a local show at Brewer that I was going to plug.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. What is it?
Well, Brewer is, you know, Brewer's like doing that thing where he opens for Metallica. Oh, not open. He like does a whole thing up front on a tour with Metallica, and they were coming to Buffalo. And October 27th is the show, Saturday night. So the 26th, he's like, hey, I'll come to Fredonia. What are you doing? And I'm like, nothing, you know. I'm home that night. And he's like, oh, come in. He goes, this was a while ago. He goes, don't book anything, man. Come on, we'll hang out. So I said, all right. So then a couple weeks ago, I'm like, hey, you want to do a show maybe? There's a great opera house right in town. I always wanted to do a show there, and the guy will rent it to us for like next to nothing. We could bang out a show, have some fun, then go out for beers right there. And he's like, let's do it. So we set it all up. Tickets go on sale actually today, same day this cast comes out. If you live local in the area, Fredonia Opera House, baby, 7:30 show, Friday, October 26th, me and Brewer.
Wow.
You go to fredopera.org for tickets. They're only $25. We're going to have an opener. We're going to tear it up. 444 seats with a balcony. Great little. It's built in 1891, man.
Sounds like a great show, great time, intimate environment, 444 seats. Give us the address again to get tickets.
Well, you can go to FredoniaOperaHouse.com, but specifically you go to FredOpera.org for tickets. But Fredonia Opera House, and you get the tickets, man. Get them quick. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be partying in town.
When is this?
October 26th.
October 26th. There you have it. Before Halloween. Go see Pete and Jim Brewer in Fredonia. Get your tickets fast because those will be gobbled up in no time. Probably sold out as we speak.
When does the movie come out with you and Vigo? the Viggo Mortensen Viggo movie.
And Mahershala Ali comes out Green Book November 21st.
Green Book.
The Green Book. So check that out. That is
I am looking a month and a half away. Forward to that one, bro. I can't wait to see that. What is that, right before Thanksgiving?
Right before Thanksgiving. Ooh, it's a great time of the year to go see a movie. And we will definitely be discussing that on air after people see it. I'll be in actually Naples, Florida, by my in-laws. So we're probably all going to go see the movie together.
You have your best-selling book out. You've got your sold-out tour. You're breaking records with it. And you've got a movie premiere tonight with two major stars. One's an Oscar winner. One could be an Oscar winner. I don't know how he hasn't won yet. Viggo Mortensen. And I can never say his name.
Mahershala Ali.
Thank you. So talk to us about that film.
So, it was one of these things where I wanted to start getting into film, but I like doing dramatic stuff. I'm not like the class clown. I'm kind of a serious guy, so I want to kind of exploit that in film. And this film is not only a drama, but it does have hints of comedy. Working with these guys was fantastic. It was really, really fun. And
what's it like walking? Do they think of you as a comedian when you're walking on set, or do they?
I don't know what they think. I just want to go and do a great job. So I'm not the guy talking or anything like that. I don't want to get out of line or whatnot. I do my lines, and then when we cut, I just wait to get spoken to. I don't want to be that guy. Like, so what's going on? Mailbag, what do we got?
The mailman is friendly and helpful. Almost everybody likes him, for almost everybody likes to get mail.
Mail call.
Now it's time for Pete and Sebastian's Mailbag.
They didn't let us down this time, man. We got some pretty entertaining ones. And one, the first mailbag I want to start off with, Sebastian, is a guy named Brandon reached out to me via Twitter. And he says, when you're done shopping, right, at a Home Depot or anywhere else, supermarket, and you're putting your stuff in the car, do you have to take your cart and put it back in the cart holder? Or do you just put it off to the side of your vehicle? And what's protocol?
That's a good question. I used to be very diligent with that. I used to take it back, put it in the thing. Now it's a free for all. You know what I try to do with it? I try and put it on top of the the parking bumper, so it doesn't move. You ever do that move?
Oh, that's a nice move.
So it doesn't blow away.
Yeah,
it's just in LA, the damn thing is so far away. You know, it's not like a normal parking lot where they have these racks every, I don't know, 7 or 8 stalls. They have like a rack. In LA, if you park far, you literally got to walk back to the grocery store to drop the damn thing off, right?
No, I agree. I don't put it back either. First of all, there's a guy who's getting paid to do that. And second of all, since 1970, I've been putting it up front by the headlights. So when the other guy pulls in, it's right there. It's like, what do you want me to do? You know, and even if I put it away, what, he's got to go all the way over there and get one? Hey, come on.
Yeah, you know, I've often looked at a parking lot, and I've seen them littered all over the parking lot, and I tell myself, what, the guy called in out sick today? Yeah, you ever see about 16 of them? You go, hey, it's all... There's not going to be. Do you ever think there's not going to be any there and pick one up on the way in, or do you actually go to where they're stored in the grocery?
I always go in the store, like right up front, to get one because I don't want to wheel one all the way from where there it is. Now I figure they'll all be up there.
Yeah. But
you ever see the guy now that got the automatic thing? So he just drives it and scoops them up as he goes.
Yeah,
and he
steers. I've seen that.
And sometimes they still got this like face, this look on their face, like exhausted. I'm like, you know, again, in 1970, there was a dude up front and a dude in the back. One would pull and one would push, and they'd have like 30 of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, especially in the winter. You know how hard that job is in the winter when... just got a fresh snow on the ground, and you got to go collect them, and no one's plowed the parking lot yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I'd leave it there. I mean, depending where you're at, if it's right there, yeah, you know, do the courtesy move. But, man, if you got to walk, forget it.
Agreed. We got another one? Where's my thing?
Yeah, you want to read that Dunkin' Donuts one? I'll read it. I was hoping to get an Italian take on what I witnessed at Dunkin' Donuts. It was a very busy morning. There was a line practically out the door, and I noticed some commotion at the register. The holdup was a lady ordering 3 dozen donuts. However, instead of picking out only the donut types, i.e. cream-filled, chocolate, whatever, she was picking individual donuts. She leaned far over the counter, pointing to specific donuts. The workers were doing their best to line up her, pointing with her selection, but if they got it wrong, she would say something like, "Nah, not that one, the one next to the corner, the bigger one." It was truly a spectacle. Is this acceptable? If not, what is the appropriate punishment for this kind of behavior? Love the cast, Adam in Pittsburgh. Funny, this has come up because I did a bit about this Subway. I've actually seen this at Subway sandwiches where people pick out the specific tomato and specific cucumbers. Like, say there was a bunch of tomatoes sitting on the top, but they were maybe not ripe. They would go, no, underneath the one there. So they would pick out specific tomatoes at Subway. Now, this is happening at the donut shop. This behavior should not even be tolerated. I'm sorry. It's especially when you're sitting there with 3 dozen. I mean, you're coming in 3 dozen. You better have your shit together. You better know what you want, how many you want, and you better start rattling stuff off. The problem I got with that is when I go in and get a dozen donuts, sometimes I get 2 donuts I don't even want because I'm almost like forced into it because I feel like I'm doing a long time with the order.
Oh, yeah. I go back to I'll get 2 cinnamon up front, and then at the end, I got 9, and I'm like, throw another cinnamon. I hear you. It's a rush job.
Total rush job. And sometimes the guy is, this is a rarity. The guy is moving faster than my brain could think about what type of donuts. You ever get one of these professionals back there where you go, give me 3 glazed and boom, they're in the thing. You're like, oh my God, I didn't expect the 3 glazed to be in. I'm up. So sometimes I get like a cream filled jelly, which I don't even want. But it was almost forced into it. But this behavior of selecting specific donuts is unacceptable. And somebody in the line should be pull a Pete. I think if Pete was in line, I think this lady would definitely get an earful.
Without it, I had a similar situation, which I want your take on. You just got one question, right? Like the other day, I'm in Home Depot, and I'm in the paint department. And all I needed to know was yes or no, is there a paint that you put on brick, mm-hmm. right? And there's a line, and the lady's behind the counter, and she just mixed some guy's paint and put it on the mixer, so now it shakes. You ever see that machine that shakes it? And so she's got to sit there for a solid minute and a half while it's shaking. So I lean over and go, excuse me, I got one quick question. And she's like, when I'm done with everyone in front of you, sir, there's a line. Oh. And I'm like, oh. Wow. You're shaking paint. You're standing there. I got one question.
This is the problem I got with this. I'm in line. Some guy starts creeping up, not in line. And I go, oh, shit. What does he want? What's he want? And then he asks a question. The problem with these people in general is the question often elicits other questions behind it. So, what's your question, Pete? What was it? Where, if paint goes on brick?
Do you have stain that goes on brick?
Oh. Ooh, well, we do. What kind of brick? So, see, this brings up a lot more questions for the person getting asked the question.
You're right.
So that quick question turns into a whole dialogue. Next thing you know, the guy's paint is done getting shook. And now she's involved with you. The rest of the line gets upset. I know what you're saying. I like that move too, where you just kind of pop in. I actually do it while I'm walking. I don't know if you've tried this. You actually walk past and ask the question as you're walking away. You ever try that one?
That's great because then they know it's a quick answer. I like that. You're just still moving. So you got pissed. So they'd go. So then they would. If I did that, what you're saying, I go, do you have stain that goes on brick? They'd go, aisle 3. Boom. Right?
Actually, you know what the better move is with the walk is you walk by, you turn to them, ask the question, and then you actually walk backwards to receive the answer.
Oh, I like that. Hit me on the back out. Oh, that's nice. Just letting you know, I'm homeless. I'm walking away. I'm walking away. Oh, I like that. So what do you do if you're ordering 30 donuts, dude?
You don't order 30 donuts. There should be a limit. It's a dozen. It's a dozen. If you want to order another dozen, I think that's a phone-in, right? I think that you call up and go, listen, I don't want to keep everybody in line. I'm going to phone in the order. I need 3 dozen donuts. You know what I would do?
Yeah.
Put in whatever you guys want to put in. That's it.
Yeah. No, I hey, that's like when I go to the deli back in the day, especially in New York or something, and a construction guy would come in with a piece of cardboard, and every guy on the site wrote down their sandwich on the cardboard with his carpenter pen. So he's sitting there going, I'm going to need 3. And I'm like, oh, this whole time the guy was in front of me. I thought he was a one sandwich guy.
Yeah. It's not good, man. When you're sent out to get like the whole construction site food, is that a tough one to get behind?
Oh, and then they got to go get you a box. Fucking had the Wonder Bread in. Oh.
No, it's not a good look.
By the way, Sadie and I feed the ducks, dude. I highly recommend it when Serafina gets a little older. We do it like once a week. We pretend they haven't eaten since we were last there. It's very fun.
Now, that seems like something that I would love to get involved with Serafina. Serafina now is just coming out of her shell. She's really coming into a personality, and we could start doing things with her that she is responding to. I mean, when she was like one, it's just like, you show her something, there's nothing. Now the face lights up, she's involved, and
it's great.
It's
great,
fun.
Dude. It's going to be more and more awesome. And, you know, I know my daughter's half Polish, half Italian, but nevertheless, man, when we go to feed the ducks, I have to bring a lollipop and show it to her and say, you only get this lollipop if you don't eat all the bread. She's so Italian.
Oh, she's, God.
One for the duck,
nice.
One for me, one for the duck.
Oh,
one for...
yeah. That's the Italian.
I used to do the same thing. Fuck the duck.
That is an Italian girl right there, eating the duck's bread. I'm surprised she's not bringing a side of olive oil.
Oh, shit. I can't believe your daughter already does the olive oil.
Oh, yeah. She's in on it, bro. So, yeah, what else? Hey, guys, 19-year-old college student here that absolutely loves the material every weekend. You could bet your ass I listen to the show while I'm up at the gym. Get fired up hearing those up-up-up-up-ups. A question I have. I was at one of Sebastian's recent Albany shows, and near the beginning of the show, people were randomly yelling out things and interrupting. Is there any way to prepare for that? What emotions are going through your head? How do you just ignore those assholes? That question is for both of you. Keep doing what you're doing, including the best DJ in the world, DJ Lou. Best Salice. I don't know how to pronounce that, but thanks for listening. 19-year-old college student. That's what I like to hear. We're hitting the young demos over there. So how do I deal with that? And I'll let Pete discuss this as well. I sometimes don't even hear what the hell they're saying when I come out. Some of it just kind of gets lost in the ether of the show. If it persists, it becomes a problem. I will address it. But for the most part, the audience tends to hear a lot more than I do on stage. So it hasn't been a problem. But if it persists, I will then address if somebody's being a little bit out of line. But I can't remember the last time I really had to kind of put somebody in line. But Pete, how do you do that? What are you doing?
Well, yeah, I guess too, though, like you would agree. Why do I keep hearing an echo? But when they...
Now, Pete, you turn your mic down.
Man, it's my first rodeo.
Now you're right.
I said when they yell out bits or something, though, that, you know, it's endearing, then you definitely, I don't mind, you know, as long as it's right up front. I just can't stand when, like, you just catch a pocket of someone not paying attention. And in the old days, I just keep going, and then you turn around, and then they are now laughing. But I don't know. As I get older, when I see it, kind of bothers me more and more. But yeah, for the most part, I don't really have to worry. That doesn't really happen so much.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. There was, I don't know, it's about maybe a couple of months ago. I looked in the front row of a show, and there's a guy looking at me that I was like, this guy hates me. He can't stand me. I could tell. It's like, I'm like trying to figure out, how do you get in the front row? Like, if you're in the front row, you're normally a fan. And I'm thinking, hey, is he gonna jump on the stage? And I called him out, but it was one of those things where I was having fun with him, but he wasn't having fun back. You ever get that guy where you try to engage and you're kind of making fun and whatnot, and then he looks at you and it looked like this guy, right? You're making fun of me in front of the thing? I'm going to wait outside, and then we're going to take care of it right when you get into the car.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
Do you ever have the where the people don't respond?
Yeah, man. It's like I said, when I was older, it wouldn't bother me as much. But when it happens, like sometimes now, I just almost kind of want to say, like, why? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
But then you turn around a little later on and you see them laughing, and then now it's crazy, and now you're in a better mood. It's like one person can kind of do that.
It's funny, like comedians, that's kind of common, where you look in the audience and maybe someone's got their head down. I've had people fall asleep during the show, pass out, what have you. And comedians just expected to maybe acknowledge that. I would just love for a singer, and I don't know if this has ever happened. I'm sure it has. But, you know, the singers, the bands are up there, they're singing a song. And, like, let's say Eddie Vedder's up there doing a full-blown set in the middle of his song, and he sees some guy, like, texting. You'd never see him go, guys, shut it down for a sec. Excuse me, what's with the texting during the show? Like,
yeah,
right. So, I just don't see singers, like, doing stuff like that. It's like, sometimes in a show, when I'm watching a band or a singer, I might be thinking of something else, right? And wouldn't it be awful if they stopped the show and said, "What are you doing? Are you involved there?
Why are your eyes closed?" And, you know, yeah. But the thing with what we do, though, is it's just so cut and dry. If they're not laughing, you're not doing well, you know?
Yeah,
singing. You could. No one could be sing your words or not even move, and then you go up to buddies, and they're like, "Dude, everybody was just so into it. It was awesome," and you believe it, right? Because it's not based on anything. If no one's laughing at us, and someone says you were great, you're like, "No, I wasn't." Obviously,
yeah.
It's annoying.
I hear you. There, I'm facing an issue right now. I've been trying different clothing styles to get a new look because I've looked the same my whole life. But my fiance isn't giving me much support in that arena. My question, is it okay to wear what you want if it makes you happy? Or should you take your loved one's advice since they see you in a different perspective? Just from Philip. Man, listen, I could speak to this firsthand, but it's from the flip end. Before I met Lana, I thought I knew what I was doing with clothing, but after she got her hands on me, she really kind of taught me the ins and outs of clothes and kind of what to wear, what not to wear. So I think a woman's input on guy's style is valuable. I'm not saying lose completely who you are, but women tend to have that eye for clothes and specific looks and what might look good on the man. For Philip to take the initiative and look himself in the mirror and say, "God, I need to change it up." Kudos to you, Phil, for even noticing that. A lot of people go through their entire life with the same outfit, the same look, the same hairstyle, the whole thing, and then they die at whatever, 78, you know, 95, whatever, in the same shirt they had on when they were 40. So good for you for noticing that you look like you need a makeover. As far as your wife, I don't know, the girlfriend, whoever you're referring to, maybe she feels a little nervous that she kind of likes plain Phil, and if Phil decides to do it up, he has a possibility of flying the coop.
Well, no? I, well, when Phil's last line is, "Or should I just be comfortable?" I don't think that's going to be... That was his last line. I mean, he's basically saying, can I just wear sweats? And no, you can't, Phil. You can never give up. You understand? Yes. And that's the thing about women. And when you do marry someone, most women are going to influence what you wear, right? I mean, there's certain guys that got their own GQ look that they just do, but most women do. So when you're marrying a woman, bro, you got to really think, because whatever she likes, her fashion, that you're marrying that fashion too, you know? You marry some, you know, little white trashy or something, then you're going to start dressing white trashy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
All right, I'm going through right now because Jackie has lately said my wardrobe. She's like, yeah, you have no clothes. It's embarrassing for your age. You don't even have a good pair of jeans. Look at your sweatpants. You're going to, she was on me. I went to see the chiropractor. She's like, you got a burn mark in your sweatpants. What are you doing? And I'm like, what am I doing, Jack? I'm freaking getting in a Subaru, going to a doctor and going, well, yeah, you always say that. You're just that. You're just this. When are you going to dress nice for something? Get some nice clothes. So then I go downstairs to watch TV, and I'm wearing a James Purse black V-neck and like a real nice pair of shorts.
$70 t-shirt.
Yeah, $70 t-shirt. Yeah. Right. And that's what she said. She's like, hey, what are you coming downstairs to watch TV in a $70 t-shirt for? And I go, because I don't want to be some bum that just wears whatever when he watches TV and then the wife isn't turned on by him and doesn't want to be with him. Fool around with him. And she's like, you don't wear one of your nicest t-shirts. I mean, you wear that on stage. You don't wear it now. So I'm still trying to figure it out after 25 years together.
Yeah, it's one of those touch and go moments where, you know, sometimes you got clipped. Even Lana even told me, you know, all these nice clothes, and you kind of wear the same thing day in, because I'm always waiting for a special occasion to put something on.
Yeah,
just wear it. If I could give you any advice, and I want to follow my own advice on this, whatever you got in the closet, new, old, whatever, just wear it. Wear the purse shirt downstairs if you want to wear it and you feel comfortable. If you want to go wash your car and slip on Giorgio Brutini's, go ahead and do it. Whatever you feel comfortable in, whatever you got in there, go ahead and wear it and enjoy the clothing rather than save it for some occasion that's not going to happen.
You're right. That's such great advice. Because what happens with me sometimes, bro, is like, let's say I'm going to go to a store or something with her and I'm going to wear a nice t-shirt and like a pair of $200 jeans and look cool. Problem is, then I come home and she goes inside and I'm like, oh, I just want to do something in the garage. Next thing you know, I get caught up. I'm tinkering in the garage. I come in. She's like, you got shit on $200 jeans. You got a stain on your t-shirt. And I'm like, Jack, I can't keep coming in changing for every activity throughout the day. All right. This is not my work outfit. I'm going to rake leaves. Let me change. Oh, this is going to the show. It's all fucking one outfit.
Yeah, although you have to modify it, and I agree with Jackie on that particular point. If you're getting involved in some greasy stuff and possible, you could ruin the outfit. You could maybe rip the jeans, drop some oil on there, and then you're netting your $200 jeans that you don't wear them because now they're ruined. I'm talking about, listen, if you go out to lunch, right, and you have an outfit on, and then you're just going to hang out outside the house, maybe you keep that outfit. You're going to go over to your in-laws. You keep that outfit. Guy, if you're going to clean the gutters, we got to put gutter wear on, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, hey, baby, that was a great lunch. I'll be right in. I just want to put the wicker chairs up in the garage, up on the beams, right? That's what I wanted to do the other day. Mm. So then I go up there. And slide him in. They can't really fit him. I gotta climb up there and just fucking maneuver him. It'll take 5 minutes. And I go up there. There's some mouse shit, literally.
Yeah.
There's some acorns and stuff. But I sweep it out of the way. I get them nice. 10 minutes later, I'm back down. And she's like, now look at your pants. Come on. I'm supposed to be up on the ladder and go, wait a minute. This is a job for my Wranglers. What the fuck?
Kind of, man. I'm saying it's sometimes you have to, like, if you have a really hot outfit on, you got to change out of that, get some old sweats or what have you, and hit it with that. But I'm talking about, there's a lot of times where you got an outfit and you're waiting for, oh, I'll wear this, I'll wear that. for this occasion, that occasion, that occasion never happens. I'm a big proponent of taking a nice outfit, wearing it if you're just doing some daily errands. Like today, I went to a preschool, and it was a preschool interview. Put a nice T-shirt on and some jeans and nice shoes, a little watch. Even dabbed myself with a little cologne right behind the ears. I don't know. Listen, I think cologne during the day, subtle, nice touch.
I'm not a cologne guy, but a subtle, nice cologne, I respect that. It is a nice scent when it comes by. But you were going to a preschool interview for your child? Is that what you're doing?
Well, it was an that's
a dress-up thing. Like, what do you do when you go to Ralph's?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would like, and I was trying to do this for a while, to dress up wherever I'm going. Like, I was trying to take Jackie's advice and going, listen, just because I'm going to Ralph's, I don't want to be schlubbing it over there with sweatpants, an old T-shirt, and a ratty hat. Take a shower. Get ready for the day. Again, with the shower kind of attached to, you know, dress the part, man. Get up in the morning, shower up, and now you're ready to tackle the day, whatever it be, a grocery store, you're dropping off stuff at your manager's, a meeting with an agent. Have an outfit prepared.
Man, listen, I would love nothing more than to wear like a nice black slacks with nice shoes and a button, expensive button shirt tucked in with a nice belt, sleeves rolled up every day of my life. I want to look like Andy Garcia did in the early 90s. God.
Man, Garcia in the early 90s is a... Guys, if you want to look at a guy who's got some style, take a look at a Garcia in 1998. By the way, if you want to take, and I think we looked at this on an older show, but take a look at Garcia in Godfather 3 when he comes out in that red robe.
Okay.
Okay. There's a scene where Garcia, I think, is fooling around with a girl. He hears two guys enter his apartment, and they got ski masks on. They're actually not ski masks. They got nylons over their head. Garcia comes out of nowhere with, I mean, chest hair that literally is cascading off his nipples, right? He's got that dark chest hair where you can't even see the color of skin behind it. You ever see those guys with that? It's just jet black hair.
Oh, yeah. No sign of skin.
No sign of skin. So this guy's got a red robe on, barefoot, and he's got the guy with the nylon over his head, and he's got a gun pointed at him. And the two guys, whoever is behind those nylons, I don't know what actors that they were, but they look so scared. And it was a great kind of juxtaposition of frightened look with a nylon on. You don't normally see people wearing nylons on their head scared shitless. And Garcia, what he was doing to those guys, it's a scene. Look it up on YouTube.
I'm looking. Bro.
I got it right here. You want to hear it?
Lou, let's play it.
The chest hair accentuates the red robe so nice. Yeah. It looks like just a dark V right down the middle. A dangling. Look at the three hairs dangling over by the left eye. The three just dangling. I'm looking at the one where he's holding the guy's face down with one hand.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
He apprehends the bad guys with the nylons on their head somehow. Now he's just, like, controlling them.
Yeah.
Relax. Have a smoke. You smoke?
Oh, I do now, handsome.
Whose idea was this? Who sent you? Come on. Tell me, who sent you?
No one.
Take a good look at this guy?
Yeah.
So who sent you?
It's Joey Zaza. No!
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm renting this.
I'll play that on a loop in my house on replay for 12 hours. I don't even have to see the movie. Just that scene alone, what you guys didn't see is he shot the guy in the head with the nylon still on. Oh, wait, was it still on, Lou?
No, he had it, his face was uncovered, but it was still on the back of his head.
Okay, yeah. Oh, God, what a great movie. Great scene. The movie's good, but not as good as the other two. But that scene, Garcia, you're right, Pete. The black hair, it was almost like he had a black V-neck t-shirt on. That's how thick the damn thing was, like a black sweater.
And again, just looking at this robe, I want to have the kind of life where if I came out to my kitchen in that robe, my wife and daughter wouldn't be like, what the fuck are you doing in that robe? Right? I want to be cool, bro, but I don't live that kind of life. I don't go to places that warrant these kind of cool outfits. It sucks. I got to wait till somebody dies to wear a goddamn tie.
Listen. You're telling me
what?
If you came down in a red robe for breakfast and didn't even mention it to Sadie and your wife, just came down barefoot, the robe lightly tied where, you know, the chest hair's hanging out, barefoot, and you just said to Jackie, hey, Jackie, give me a couple eggs. You'd get slack for that.
The robe or the eggs? I mean, two different things. She'd go, get your own eggs, a nice fucking robe. No, seriously. I don't know. I mean, hey, baby, can you make me some eggs? Sure, she'd do that for me. But the robe, I can't.
But the robe. Would she go, what are you doing in a robe?
Yeah, I mean, what about you? What? You got robes, you wear them?
No, I don't. I'm not a robe guy. But
do you like your style?
My morning look, I could use a revamp on the morning look. I would like to come down in a robe like that. My dad used to have a red robe. Get this, my dad used to have a red robe, but this damn thing, this robe was thigh high.
Dude, my dad had a terry cloth one like that. Thigh high, right? But my dad's wasn't thigh high, but yeah, like mid-thigh. They didn't go low.
No, they didn't go low. My dad, growing up, had a red silk thigh high robe.
Silk?
Silk. On the back of the robe was a fucking dragon. Oh my God.
Did the old man wear anything under the robe, and did he wear it like in the morning for breakfast and coffee?
He wore underwear under the white tidy whiteys.
Tidy whiteys? Really?
Listen, if the robe was open, it was open. It was like one of those houses where like dad came down, he'd cover up. You know, it's like. Yeah, if dad's making, you know, whatever, a cup of coffee, if the robe was tied, it was tied. If not, you know, it's dad. What are you going to do? But he wore that thing like a cape, bro. He came down. He watched 60 Minutes in it. It was like, and I thought it was like normal. Like when I saw other kids and their father come out in like a long terry cloth brown robe to the ankles, I was like, gee, my dad's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Those were the days, I think, when that's just a different guy. My dad was lighting up. I think they were called Jewel cigars. You ever see those cigars? It's not a cigar, but it's got one of those like tips on the end.
Yeah, a little plastic tip. Oh, that's class. In his dragon silk robe smoking. Come on. Your old man was pimping.
Yeah, he was a pimp, man.
Say, Jim, boom!
Excuse me.
That's a bad outfit.
Here's a flashback.
I got something here. I got some,
What's up?
I don't know. I don't even know how you're going to feel about this. I hired a stylist.
Oh, that's so great for the show. For our show. You hired a stylist. First of all, how does Lana feel about that? What? For your everyday clothes, bro? This is weird. Is that what we're talking?
Let me tell you why I've done this. I reached out to John Legend 2 months ago because I like the way he kind of carries himself in regards to style. And he hooked me up with his guy, and I met him this week, and then he came to my house to review my closet.
I think I need a timeout. I mean, I have a responsibility to speak on behalf of the people here. You realize?
Absolutely. That's why I bring this up.
What is going on?
What's going on? I also told him I was going to go on vacation. And I said, I don't like wearing shorts. The only reason I think shorts should be worn is to the gym. And that's it.
It's ridiculous. You got a guy coming to your house. I mean, I'm telling you. The water shortage out there is driving everybody nuts. The thing's going on. So he comes in and he looks in your closet. And obviously, he's got to say it's not that good. Because what's he going to do? Go, you don't even need me.
Well, no, he came, he just wanted to get a flair, kind of a vibe of what I typically wear. Maybe the color scheme and where I live with sizes and whatnot. And then he's going to kind of pepper in the holes. So, what happens now is he goes shopping. He pulls a bunch of different clothes. We go to his house. We try it on. I pick out what I want. And that's the end of that.
Oh, yeah, it's like, but other than all that, did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I mean, you go to a house and we try on clothes together, and then that's that. That's awful. That sounds so painful to me. I don't like to try on clothes.
I can't wait.
Well,
I can't wait to see what he's going to pull.
Well, I will say, so like, he goes and he finds all the clothes, so instead of you having to go to a store, you're just going to his place to try them on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool, and I would imagine it's not like his place is set up for this. This is his business, so it's probably like a giant dressing room with mirrors and good music and maybe cappuccino if you want one.
Well, I don't know if he's got all that. Lada and I are going to go over there, try on some clothes. It saves me time than going to, 10 or 11 different stores to try stuff on. Plus, he's going to pick it out, and then he says it's all in the tailoring. He goes, sometimes you buy a shirt that, maybe is a really cool shirt, but the cut ain't fitting you right. We got a tailor there to tailor it. I mean, I think that's the best thing I've ever done in the last 6 years.
Well, look, I will give you the fact that, and I want to bring it up a little later on. I've written down the, something about myself, too, getting older and not wanting to look bad as often, Jackie's no longer going to be cutting my hair outside, which I'll get into. So I respect that part of you saying, I want to work with my fashion. I just think that, this is like a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I think you and Lana could rent a limo for a day and have the limo take you to store, and Lana goes up to the counter and tells them what size you are and what you're looking for, and you make a fun day out of it. But nevertheless, it's the same thing.
I agree. Lana does have good taste, and she has helped me up to this point by picking up some nice pieces. However, at this point, I need a professional guy that does this day in, day out, dresses men primarily, and is very good at it, to take my wardrobe and my look to the next level. I don't see like what's so hard to grasp on this.
Well,
we are in the entertainment business. It's show business. It's people are coming and paying whatever, $30, $35 a ticket to come see you. And yeah, they want to laugh, but you want to give them the entire package.
But the entire package to me is all a reflection of you. What I like about your fashion is there's always a little bit of overly Italiano touch coming at you in some way. You know what I mean? Whether it's like a flashy shoe.
That's still going to exist. It's not like I'm not going to have the ability to go out and shop on my own. I'm just saying, for example, what do you wear to the airport?
Oh, I wear jeans, boots, a button sweater that, that I can unbutton, and a nice t-shirt that I like underneath, and a cool hat if it's early in the morning. And I just look at myself in a mirror in a bathroom, and the first thing that comes to mind is, there's a man about to board this plane. Hey guys, here we go. You know how it is on the Pete and Sebastian show. We're not going to plug stuff that we don't believe in, and I'm here to talk about something that matters, man.
What would it look like if we all listened more? Listening to audiobooks motivates us. We all know Sebastian had the Agassi book on his shelf since the beginning of time. He'd do a page a year because who has the time to read? You're driving, you're traveling, and you're in situations where you can't just sit there and read, but you can pop on an audiobook, man. They inspire us. They bring families closer together. You can listen together while you're cruising down the highway. And if you're going to get an audiobook, there's no better place to listen than Audible. Because now Audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E, folks, if you can't hear my Italian accent, that's why they never ask me to read a book. They got exclusive stuff for members, including audio fitness programs, audio books, Audible originals, and more. That's right. Audible now has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. And they now have originals. Do you believe that? The selection has gotten even more custom with content made for members. Like, let's just take Sebastian's book, Stay Hungry. I mean, who's got the time sometimes to sit and read? And if you do read, sometimes it makes you tired and you got to go to work. And now you're tired? Not anymore. Sit back on the train, close your eyes, and let Sebastian Maniscalco do the reading for you. And this is just one book. I mean, every month, Audible members get one credit good for a new audiobook they can choose, plus two Audible originals from a changing selection that they can't get anywhere else. They also get access to audio fitness and health workouts created exclusively for Audible. The best part is your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime. Even if you cancel your membership, you don't have to give up the book. You still keep the book. And if you didn't like your audiobook, oh, get this. You can exchange it, no questions asked. What? Just, if nothing else, man, just start a 30-day trial. Try your first audiobook for free on them. Just go to audible.com/DJLou. All right? Or, even easier, just text. Go to 500-500 and text DJLou. I did it myself before I started doing this commercial right now, whatever you want to call this thing. And I got to tell you, I text it right back. I get the thing, the link saying, hey, welcome to Audible. You're ready for your free book. You text 500-500 and put in DJ Lou, or you go to audible.com/DJLou and you got a free book coming your way that you can listen to while you travel or do anything. Lay in bed? I don't know. All right, man. I gotta get a book out just so I can get on here and read one off for you guys. I'd love to do this. Later.
I gotta do a shout out to my buddy Dom over at Dominic Foods. He is amazing. He's over at the Beverly Hills Cheese Shop over on, I think it's Camden. And you want to go in there and say hi to this guy. This guy, we went in, and my dad loves going in there because Dom is one of these guys that really hospitable. I told him I was coming with my father, but when we got there, he had a few slices of bread, some cheese, stuffed pepper, and a little cured meats just kind of laid out for us right in the store. Opened a bottle of wine. We had a couple glasses of wine, and right in the middle of the cheese store at noon. It was just like... I felt nice. I was in Siena on the street having a glass of wine. It felt like Italy in there. But
what were you wearing? What were you wearing?
Good question. I came off an airplane from Vegas with all black. I had black slacks on, kind of like a black boot, black T-shirt. I looked like I was going to a funeral, but I was eating salami.
That's perfect. It's perfect.
I think you got to eat Italian food in all black. I think that's just kind of... that's
the rule. It should be, man. Fucking Italiano! Shit! It's awesome. I just watched Andy Garcia movie last night. He's the man.
What movie?
It's the book club with a lot of older women.
Fonda. Yeah, is that good?
Hey, it was Jackie's birthday weekend. I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Oh shit. So
yeah, man. Listen, all right. Anyway, nothing. No, I'm sorry.
What? Step it up, guys. It's been a while.
We're good. We're taking that. We're taking that beat buds out, right, Lou?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Okay, what do you got? You got the Pete's got the show October 26th over at the Orchestra Hall. What's it called again? Fred's Orchestra Hall.
Fredonia Opera House. And again, October 18th through 20. Come on, Gotham Comedy Club, 18th through 20. And again, November 3rd, the Boston Garden, Dennis Leary Comics Come Home with all the other great comics, Brewer, Reagan, all of them.
Perfect. October 12th, which is this Friday, guys, I'll be in Hamilton, Ontario. I'll be over at Rama Casino, Casino Rama, on Saturday, October 13th. I will then be at the Mohegan Sun, November 2nd and 3rd, and tickets still available January 20th for the fourth and final Madison Square Garden show on Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Do not worry. Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Everybody's got the day off. So that is it for the Pete and Sebastian show. Thanks for listening. Spread the word, guys. Good hang. Peace.
That's a nice touch.
The show has ended.
I don't mix my actors and my rock stars, guy. I've been through this. You're putting your chocolate in my peanut butter, man.